rain here at WDK. Okay.
From news across the world to events in your community, hear about it all on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Sanders' fabulosity is completely unmatched, and so we always appreciate his help and hard work. He's why the podcast will be posted shortly after our interview. In the studio, Movie Mike McGranahan is here, professional movie critic. His website, aisleseat.com. He's just a stupendous follower of all things Hollywood. Welcome back, sir.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for coming in. Very much appreciated. All right, you have got a review of The Flash.
Every time I think I've completely succumbed to superhero movie fatigue, one comes along to restore my faith in the genre. The Flash is the latest to win me back over. Ezra Miller plays the title character. After realizing he can rewind time by running really fast, he returns to the past in an effort to prevent his mother's murder. Something goes wrong, leaving him not only in the past, but in an alternate dimension where he encounters a younger version of himself, as well as a different version of his mentor, Batman. Michael Keaton returns to the role of the Dark Knight for the first time since 1992's Batman Returns, and seeing him portray the character again is a blast. The Flash has a lot of hilarious humor as it plays with both the possibilities and hazards of time travel. Action scenes are fun because they're often filmed in slow motion, so we can see the many, many things the superhero is able to accomplish in the blink of an eye. The third act does contain the requisite CGI overload and references to other DC characters. I didn't mind, though, because the movie has a clear vision of what it wants to do. Those things aren't just thrown in arbitrarily. The Flash is a breath of fresh air in a tired genre, and I had a great time watching it. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3.5 speed forces.
Wow, okay. I'm a little bit surprised.
So was I.
The trailer's nothing to speak of. It just looks like another animated action movie.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying they pulled all this together and the distractions don't distract.
Yeah, I'll tell you the other thing I really liked about it. A lot of these superhero movies these days feel bogged down what I call the Marvel business or the DC business, where you can kind of feel that there's a corporation dictating what's going to happen in the story and what the style of the movie is going to be. The Flash was directed by Andy Muschietti, who made the It movies a couple years ago, and he's got a vision for this. This is Andy Muschietti's Flash. This is not just, you know, a DC corporate product of, okay, we need to have this, that, and the other thing. This, you can really feel that there was a director here who had a vision for the movie, knew what he wanted it to look like, knew how he wanted it to play, and then very effectively executed that.
All right, and you say the time travel is it's not sort of silly or whimsical, that you kind of buy into maybe the purpose and how it might work.
Yeah, it has a lot of fun because the Flash meets this younger version of himself who's kind of a doofus. You know, he's still in a young, immature phase, and so there's a lot of really interesting interactions between the two of them. You know, the older figure going back and meeting his younger self and trying to impart some wisdom or trying to get him to grow up a little bit. So that's fun, too. There's a lot of really, really funny scenes in this movie, but also some great action. So I think it really worked all the way around. I did not expect to like this movie as much as I did.
Yeah, it's hard to go in when you have a predisposed... Well, it's hard for anything if you have a predisposed opinion and you get surprised. Sometimes it's hard to let go of that. Okay, so good characters and voiceover. Anything else noteworthy about this film?
Just, again, Michael Keaton back as Batman. For a lot of us who were there in 1989 with Tim Burton's original Batman, Michael Keaton is the definitive Batman. He's the one that we love the most. So seeing him in that cape again and that costume is a lot of fun. And he's just as good as he was in the originals, the original two that he was in. And it could have come across as stunt casting, but it's part of the vision of the movie, and so it really works.
Okay, so Michael Keaton, and of course, does he look 30 years older or no? Or
He does, but you know, Michael Keaton still looks young. I mean, I don't think he looks his age.
Okay, which would be what, 60-ish?
Got to be in his 60s somewhere, yeah.
Something in that range, maybe older. Okay, so 3.5.
Speed Forces.
Speed Forces, which of course is...
I knew you were going to ask that. This is from the actual DC database. The Speed Force is a cosmic energy field and force based around velocity and movement. The Flash uses it quite frequently if you're a fan of the comics or the TV show.
Okay, so it's a word salad to accomplish going back in time.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that's fine. I'll buy it. We buy it. Okay, you know, this is a man who watches Fast and Furious and thinks it's probably all real, so we'll probably enjoy The Flash as well. All right, sounds super. The Flash, 3.5 Speed Forces. All right, mini review of Elemental. Now, I wasn't expected to enjoy this trailer, but I can't wait to watch the film.
Elemental is the new movie from Pixar, and it takes place in a place called Element City, where creatures made of fire, water, air, and earth all live in their own separate neighborhoods and then end up mingling when they go out in public. But it's about a fire girl who meets and falls in love with a water boy. And, of course, they can't be together because fire and water tend to not really mix that well.
Which leads to 1,000 one-liners throughout the movie.
Absolutely. There are constant jokes about that. And they have to work together to try to figure out why the town's levee system is leaking and try to prevent a catastrophe. Now, story-wise, this is not the best Pixar movie ever. The idea of two characters looking for a leak is not exactly thrill a minute, but the characters in this movie are really likable and charming. There's a lot of great humor in the film, and of course, the animation from Pixar is top-notch. I saw the movie in 3D and was very glad I did. They really take advantage of that format to add something. So, again, not Pixar's best movie, but a Pixar movie, nonetheless, is always worth seeing, and I think Elemental is, too. So I give it 3 stars.
Okay, so 3 stars there, and it looks like this could be a franchise, too. I mean, it looks, you know, I just saw the trailer, but it certainly sounds this story could be resolved with some sort of an ending, and then there'd be time for more.
Yeah, because this movie basically focuses on fire and water, so they could have characters from the other worlds be the prominent figures next time.
See, now you're thinking. You're one ahead. You might be one step ahead of Pixar. That's hard to do. All right, so Elemental, 3 stars there. And that's at theaters?
That's in theaters,
plus,
yes.
Of course,
and again, I
3D.
Recommend the 3D version.
And we still have 3D around here, right?
Yep.
Okay, so, all right. So, and bigger is better and when it comes to 3D. So if you can get to a, what do they call it, Supermax theaters? What are they called?
All those IMAXes.
Right. So, yeah, try to do that if you can. All right, and The Flash is just in theaters also?
Yes.
Okay. Steven Spielberg and Martin Scorsese intervening after layoffs at Turner Classic Movies. So start at the beginning on that one.
Okay, I don't know if you're as big a fan of Turner Classic Movies cable channel as I am, but I love it. And of course, they run classic movies from all eras of cinema. And the new CEO of Time Warner Discovery, which owns Turner Classic Movies, laid off a bunch of people, including the top programmers and staff at TCM. Now, that's a concern because these programmers, they were more than just technical people. They were curators. They chose the films. They made sure there was a balance of different decades and different genres. And there's a lot of concern now about what Turner Classic Movies will turn into. A lot of people were afraid it'll just become another TNT where they show popular recent movies over and over again, and then the classics that they show and some of the more obscure films will go away. So Martin Scorsese, Paul Thomas Anderson, and Steven Spielberg are among the directors who made a call to the CEO this week to kind of encourage him to come up with a plan to make sure that Turner Classic Movies remains what it is, something devoted to providing not just opportunities to see all these classic films from different decades, but some education about them too, because, you know, their hosts always have a little intro there. So hopefully that will work. Hopefully they have enough influence that Turner Classic Movies will continue the mission that it's had for all of these years so far.
Well, I think one thing about them is they show films that you might not consider, well, certainly would not be politically correct today, maybe showing black characters or other minorities or different people in roles that we wouldn't find acceptable today.
Mm-hmm.
But they always explain it, and they say, and sometimes even after the film, there's a disclaimer that says, you know, this is depicting something that's sort of atypical today.
Right.
You don't want to lose that.
Definitely don't want to lose that. The hosts and their opening monologues and their closing monologues always help put context to what you're about to see or what you've just seen. And I think that that's really important, and that's certainly one of the benefits of Turner Classic Movies. You get to understand how these movies fit into their own particular time and how we might see them today, for better or worse.
Right. I remember one of the explanations was how the director showed respect for the time. Of course, this I think it was like in the late 40s or early 50s. 60s, where we wouldn't, where women and minorities were depicted, well, were actually rolled differently, and that, and you'll see that in the film. So, and that it, this was really in respect to the era after it had been made. Okay, so that's that. Oliver Stone's got his panties in a bunch for no good reason, as near as I can tell, but we'll let you explain that.
Yeah, Oliver Stone gave an interview this week where he really went to town on John Wick Chapter 4. He called it absolutely disgusting and took issue with the John Wick movies about the violence. He said, as a combat veteran, I can tell you that none of the killings in this movie are realistic. Well, not
a
supposed
film.
To be, you know.
Unrealistic.
It's an over-the-top action movie. It's not supposed to be ridiculous.
Please don't let him know about Marvel, too.
Yeah. And that's really what's interesting about this story, because we've seen Martin Scorsese and Francis Ford Coppola kind of dinging the Marvel movies and saying, you know, they're just product. They're not really cinema. And now you have Oliver Stone going after the John Wick franchise. So I think that there's nothing wrong with John Wick. There's nothing wrong with Marvel. But I think that this is why it's important to have filmmakers like these guys to come in and tip the scale a little bit in the other direction, to continue making things that are new and interesting and fresh and challenging and not just the same old, same old.
Oh, my lovely bride and I just watched John Wick. It was wonderful.
It's terrific. It's great entertainment. The fourth one was my favorite of the series.
It's ridiculously violent, but whatever. I mean, that's sort of the purpose of it. But I think in one of the scenes, I'm not going to give too much away, but in one of the scenes sort of in the middle of the film, you kind of realize that it almost looks like a video game. Mm-hmm. And you're like, boy, this is 100% fiction.
I know the scene you're talking about, and that's a great scene, isn't it?
Yeah, and so, I mean, and that, if you were thinking, holy smokes, you know, there is this underworld, or maybe there are hitmen that do this, and maybe there could be some way that you could go to Paris and shoot 200 people and have no police arrive.
Right.
that it is 100% fiction. It's as fictional as any fantasy book.
Absolutely. And it's intended to be that way. So I think Oliver Stone is missing the mark a little bit by being specific on John Wick Chapter 4, but I think his point overall is valid, that we need to have a balance. We can't just have franchises. We have to have lots of different types of films in order for cinema to stay healthy.
Well, that's an okay point. We'll take that. You know, we're not seeing, you're having a harder time. You don't see as many of sort of the great films of all time kind of thing, that, you know, those contenders for that kind of honor these days. Or do you, and I'm just not seeing them?
Well, you know, when you look at something like E.T., which came out and broke records in 82, that's a classic. Will Avengers Endgame be considered a classic 30, 40 years from now in the same way? No, I don't think it will.
All right, very well. Well, thank you so much. Movie Mike, what are you going to see this week?
Big week. We got Wes Anderson's new movie Asteroid City opening today, and the Jennifer Lawrence R-rated comedy No Hard Feelings, and both of those look fun, so can't wait to check them out.
Jennifer Lawrence with a few curves, check it out.